Good afternoon. It's 12:06 and you're tuned to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne, and this is Art Centric Midday Matters. We'd love to hear from you today during our conversation, so feel free to give us a call. 260-452-1185 is that number. You can always post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio today with my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And it's the last Art-Centric Friday of this very seasonally significant month, as a matter of fact. So we have a wellspring of local last Saturday celebration to discuss. And for that, DID's Tana Winker is on hand with Nancy McCammon Hansen from the History Center. Then we're grabbing a seat in the green room because it's Drama Times 3 or more, as Tom Hoffrichter promises us in our second Last Friday segment. Tom's on hand from the First Press Theater, ready to review all things stage-worthy on the local horizon in duo this month with Leslie Horman, who will be sharing the inside story of the Fort Wayne Youth Theater's Tale of Anansi. But before all of that, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip for you as you head into this especially art-centric rich weekend, just in case you're in need of something different. What's your pick, Sarah?
My pick is a last Saturday screening at the Cinema Center. The Cinema Center has recently revived midnight movies, so they're doing the midnight movie series, and this time it's Iron Sky. So at 11:59 p.m., Cinema Center is going to be showing that movie this Saturday. So doors open at 11, and I think the ticket prices are a little bit less than they usually are. Cinema Center is located at 437 East Berry Street, and you can go to their website for more details.
That's a great one. I'm suggesting something incredibly art-centric, eccentric, and for a worthy cause that's coming up tonight at 7:30. It's Wunderkammer Company's Renaissance Theme Party. How fun is that? They promise lusty and salacious chansons of the medieval period, instructions on traditional Renaissance social dances, and one fun blast from the far distant past. They encourage you to come dressed in your Renaissance best, and donations will be accepted to help raise funds to put together a concert featuring female composers who played a very, very important role in shaping the musical traditions of the Western world. So how many birds could one kill with a lovely stone there? That's at Wunderkammer Company, 3204 Fairfield Avenue, tonight at 7:30, a Renaissance theme party. And now, get ready to hear all about the seasonal art centricity that festoons downtown Fort Wayne's last Saturday excitement. This is WBOI's Midday Matters, very art-centric today, as we welcome DID's Tana Winker and Nancy McCammon Hansen from the History Center. How joyful can it possibly be on this very special last Saturday of March, Tana?
You know, it's awesome. This is going to be a great weekend. There's a lot going on, and the forecast even looks nice. Like 50 and sunny is going to seem incredible tomorrow.
Tropics.
After what we've been having. So it'll be a great day to get downtown, and all day long there are things going on. So maybe you want to start in the morning at Parkview Field, where they're having a big open house where people can take tours and go down and to the stadium and see behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, the dressing rooms and all of that kind of stuff that you normally don't get to see.
I guess that's a perfect timing as we are entering April to bring the Ball Diamond to you.
Well, yeah, they kick off their season in mid-April, I think April 11th. So this is a great time to have an open house. And that's a great way to start the day because you can go from there to all kinds of other activities like Science Central, which technically is on the edge of downtown. We'll say it's on the edge. It's a gateway.
We'll just say it's on the edge.
Yeah, but it is. They're having nano days tomorrow, so there are some interesting experiments and demonstrations for science and engineering with nanoscale, the minuscule world of atoms and molecules and all that. So it's a more science than art, I'd say. But it's also Lemonade Day registration, which is a great opportunity for kids to learn how to start a business and how to operate a lemonade stand, and it's a really good program. So that's also happening tomorrow at Science Central. So that, with some of the things like the Botanical Conservatory's Mighty Jungle Adventure, another way to enjoy the spring and get a little taste of the tropics. And if, just as a side note, if you're downtown today, the Easter Bunny is at the Botanical. So that's another exciting thing. I think that's happening right now.
And that is a full, that's a full bore Easter extravaganza, I know.
Oh, absolutely. But those are a couple of the afternoon activities we can do on Saturday. So there's choices there. I would say there's also something more for the adults. There's a Arches Free and Fun lecture at the Hour Center. That's at 11. And that's talking about noted Art Deco lighting manufacturer W.B. Brown and Company from Bluffton, Indiana.
Oh, my. What an art-centric and, again, nearly eccentric little addition to all the wonderful things one can do downtown, and especially this weekend. That is, at what time will that be?
That's at 11 in the morning.
Okay, another mid-morning thing. I'd like to remind all of our listeners that this is WBOI's very art-centric Friday Midday Matters edition, and on the last Friday of every month, we have special celebration because we are celebrating all of the art-centric goodness that happens on downtown Fort Wayne's last Saturday celebration.
Yes, yes. During the day, if you're down, Stoner's Fun Store, Dick Stoner does free magic tricks for children in his shop. All you have to do is pop in and visit and say hi to Dick, and he'll do a little magic tricks for the kids. I tell you, it's a fun thing to pop in and do.
Pull an Easter egg out of your ear, perhaps. You never know.
Yeah. If you're interested in a little rejuvenation, perhaps mindfulness and stress reduction, there is a rejuvenation workshop at Prana Yoga tomorrow afternoon from 12 to 3 that will focus on this mind-body-spiritual connection, another way to tap into your creative side and let go of some of your stress so you can be more mindful.
Especially at this time of year of springtime and new beginning and all of the celebration that's happening, what a wonderful treat that will be, including all of the art-centric things that you can treat your brain and your eyes and your ears and your soul to. Yes,
absolutely. There is music in the afternoon at J.K. O'Donnell's. It's in their family room, so anybody is welcome to go, and it's free. It's from 1 to 4, and Matt Capps is playing tomorrow there. So that ought to be a nice little break. If you want to stop for lunch, hear some music, and then maybe head over to the History Center for some foolhardy trivia.
I would be down for that. And Nancy McCam and Hanson, we're so happy to have you here. And tell us a bit about, we all know how to be foolhardy. We all know how to be, let's back up, fools and foolhardy. But tell us about foolhardy history.
Well, this is one of the more fun things that we do, and I have a little story for you. I walked out of our office the other day, and on the second floor we have a hands-on history cabinet that has different items from the past in it that kids can actually pick up and look at. And we had a school group in that day. We're in the midst of a lot of different school groups coming through. And this little boy had this item, and I could tell by the look on his face he didn't have a clue as to what this thing was. So I went over and told him how it was used, because my grandmother had one and most of our grandmothers did. And then I told him what it was, and he goes, "Oh, my mom has one of these on the kitchen wall." Well, it was an egg beater.
Oh, my
probably
goodness.
Probably like a 1920s, 30s era egg beater that the handle is wood, not plastic, and it has the big cog in it. So this is kind of a thing that leads into foolhardy history, in that we pull a lot of things out of our artifacts that we own. Some of them are pretty obvious as to what they are, and I posted a few this week on our Facebook page. The coffee grinder piece of cake. Most people know what an old coffee grinder looks like. The second picture I posted, I don't even know what the thing is. It's a big chunk of wood as far as I'm concerned. But
Okay. Somebody might help you there just by hearing this
tomorrow,
conversation. Yes.
Tomorrow afternoon I'll know what it is. But and we pull these things out and we let people come in and look at them and determine what they are. And it's a contest. The people who get the most right answers win prizes from our gift shop. And it's an interesting look at the past, in that we so often think of history as wars, dates, and dead presidents. And history is anything that happened yesterday. And
indeed,
part of that is what the average person did. And pulling some of these items out really gives you a look at the past. One person posted on our Facebook page after I had posted the picture of the coffee grinder that, isn't it too bad that we don't go back to doing more things by hand so we aren't using as much electricity? because when you think about coffee grinders now, I have one. I plug it in and hit the button. And and there are so many things that we plug in and hit the button that we used to do by hand. And having had a grandmother who raised some of her brothers after her mother died, and she was the world's first recycler. I mean, the woman never threw anything away and had a use for everything.
She always went green.
she really did. You know, there are a lot of really neat things out there that we've kind of lost track of. And when country decorating was huge, a lot of those things ended up on people's walls and had other uses. I know my mother has a number of wash tubs that now contain LPs, if you remember what an LP was. And so it's a fun thing for people to come. And it's a good intergenerational kind of activity because grandparents, parents, kids can come and they start talking about their lives, their past. And I know just experiences that I had with our son the day we took him to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He had a whole different perspective of who mom and dad were by virtue of the music that we liked, finding out that his father lived very close to where Woodstock happened and his mother's first car was a 65 Mustang. So, you know, if you can get with your kids and talk to them about things that you did in your past, that's another way for them to look at history that's a little more fun and creative than reading a textbook.
Wonderful suggestions and advice, and certainly we agree with you, Nancy. And I think I would just like to say that the History Center really does such a good job at, well, bringing history and the past alive. But you're right with it, with interactive and inventive challenges and games and contests like this, but as well as the displays that you have.
We have a display right now of early computers.
And there's another
it really is funny to hear people come in and go, oh, I had one of those. And their kids look at them and go, really? You had one of those? Computers just in the last 20 years have changed so much. And it's good to look at current things, too. And I know our new exhibition gallery, Allen County Innovation, has really captured the attention of a lot of folks because they have no idea the things that were created in Allen County.
Indeed.
Including the potty chair. You know, there's a wonderful motorcycle manufacturer here that has a very unique design. Just, you know, some things like that that are interesting that can spark some good conversation in the house and a good time. And last Saturdays we offer half price admission, so for adults it's $2.50 and for kids it's $1.25. That's pretty cheap entertainment. That's
it's
good
also,
entertainment.
It's delightful too that the kids, like, whose choice might it be? It might be the parents wanting the kids to come, or grandparents are along so we come, but it might be the kids because they have been there on a field trip. And I think that that's true of so many of the wonderful downtown facilities. And then what a treasure to get to share multi-generationally on the weekends on last Saturday celebration. So we thank Downtown Improvement District for that. And I also would like to, actually, I'll thank everybody in advance that might like to call us and tell us about their own event that's happening this weekend. And how can they do that, Sarah?
You can post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters NIPR, or email us at middaymattersnipr.fm. And if you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 260-452-1185. We need to take a very short break here on Art-Centric Midday Matters, but we'll be back in just a few moments. This is 89.1 FM, WBOY Fort Wayne.
On the next Fresh Air, actor Frank Langella. He says he got rid of his native New Jersey accent as a kid listening to legendary British actor John Gielgud's albums and imitating his voice.
And pretty soon I sounded like, you know, in the middle of Bayonne, New Jersey, here comes this little British lord.
Frank Langella's film Robot and Frank is out on DVD. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
What makes a desert? It's more than just a lack of water. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the lush life of deserts and the secret lives of the cacti, Gila monsters, and even the microbes that live there. Plus, looking ahead to a comet crash on Mars. That's on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
Fiona Shaw is on Broadway playing the world's most famous mother.
She wants her son back. She wants him to be her son. That's very understandable. She doesn't want him to be a big star in the world.
The Irish actress plays the Virgin Mary in The Testament of Mary. A conversation with Fiona Shaw later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Will your money last? With a retirement plan, it can. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com.
Welcome back to Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. If you have a question or comment, feel free to give us a call at 260-452-1185. Remember, you can always post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio by my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Tena and Nancy, for sharing all of the whys and wherefores and the listing themselves of everything wonderfully art-centric happening on last Saturday downtown celebration. Nancy, thank you so much for walking us through the fun and the competition that's happening in Foolhardy History at the History Center. So, Tena, the hits just keep a-coming, and there's plenty of art-centricity left to talk about, so let's take a run through.
There is. When we left for the break, we were talking about multi-generational things, things that might inspire multiple generations to have fun. Well, one of them could be going to the Museum of Art, because the Scholastic Art and Writing Awards are still on display. And that's a great way to share about what's young people are doing and that kind of thing. There's also a photography exhibit, The Mystery of Stillness, by Paul Caponegro. I'm not very good at names, sorry. But that's also on display tomorrow at the Museum of Art. ArtLink has the a mixed media show that they call the Mac Show. It's artwork in vastly popular mediums from an open call to artists. Mm-hmm. So that's also a very diverse show. I've seen it. It's really great. Stop in there. 3R Gallery, which is in the Three Rivers Apartments complex on the main level. Mm-hmm. There's a gallery there, and there are digital collages on display by Elizabeth Balzer.
Oh, how exciting.
And they'll be open in the afternoon from, I think, 3 to 5 or 2 to 5, something like that. And the Arts United Center has a special exhibit with ArtLink. It's called Visual Art, and it's a 3-foot by 6-foot display. So it's a very large piece. That's why it's in the Arts United Center. Very big open space. And that is also tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6. So it gives you a chance to kind of move around to the different galleries if you're really into that.
Hop, if not a gallop, through.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. All different kinds of things to see and explore. So a good day for art gallery visiting. Then there's also music, and there's a lot of music. We already talked about JK's having a band in the afternoon, or music in the afternoon. At the Hour Center, there's the Pembroke Coffee Jam featuring the Jug Huffers. They're from 6 to 8 in the evening. That's another free thing you can do, family friendly.
And we can vouch for having had them on WBOI's Meet the Music stage. We haven't aired that segment yet. That is delightful, fantastic, good music, and fun to watch because they are, in fact, Jug Huffers. That's a literal interpretation of their name. So, yes, more music, perfect springtime music to share. And I know that there's more on the list.
There is. At Pint and Slice, there's a fun show tomorrow night, 7 p.m., and that's the Wickersham Brothers and the Hope Arthur Orchestra at both shows. Awesome. Going to be a great evening. It's a unique night of creative combustion, as they describe it. And it definitely takes music to a whole new level. So if you want to hear something really interesting with some members from the Philharmonic, there's people playing congas. There's going to be IPFW Music School performers. It's a real mix of some really great local talent.
It would be subtitled definitely a rite of spring to listen to that fresh music indeed. And where is that again?
That's at Pint and Slice at 7, and that's also a family-friendly thing because mm-hmm. it'll be upstairs in their big open room, so that'll be great. C2G Music Hall, Pink Droid, another family-friendly event. And, well, you just, what can you say about Pink Floyd music? It's an acoustic set, so that ought to be very interesting. That starts at 8 tomorrow night. There's always music at Club Soda on Saturday night. The Todd Harold Trio will be there, no cover. And then the Brass Rail has Jim and Nikki's Horror Wedding After Party with the Lurking Corpses, End Time Spasm Band, Old and Dirty, and the 60 Cent Assassins. So that's going to be a wild evening.
Interesting texture to throw into the very end of things. And another great one. We're in such a great... Well, we love everything art-centric about Fort Wayne, but the downtown last Saturday celebration this month seems to be outdoing themselves in diversity and no genre or medium or style left behind. Something for everyone.
Right. Well, when we say experience art, discover downtown, you get a little bit of everything. And this weekend even includes sports. It includes art. It's music. It's amazing. It's really going to be fun. And it's just the beginning of the spring. We've got some wonderful weekends coming this summer. Can't wait to tell you about them. And to learn more, you can look on the downtown Fort Wayne page. Or if that's right, we had a glitch this morning. So if it's not working, try the artsunited.org webpage. The last Saturday activities are listed there.
And we have that on our Facebook wall too, so you can go there and like us and find us. And
yeah, and it's on Facebook. It has the last Saturday's page, so if you just Google that or search that, I should say, on Facebook, you'll find it there. So all of these things are listed. You can find the times, the prices, all of that's available.
Well, we have had we now have a wealth of things to choose from, a wellspring, as a matter of fact, for this weekend celebration. And we thank you, Tenna, and you, Nancy, for joining us for this conversation, and hope that people can have the time to get their Easter breads made and their eggs colored and everything else, and enjoy all of this last Saturday Art Centricity.
We're going to take a quick break here on WBOY for the news, but we'll be back with more of Art-Centric Midday Matters in just a few moments. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments, 260-452-1185 is the number to call, or you can post on our Midday Matters Facebook page or send us a note at middaymatters@nipr.fm.
On the next Fresh Air, actor Frank Langella. He says he got rid of his native New Jersey accent as a kid, listening to legendary British actor John Gielgud's albums and imitating his voice.
And pretty soon I sounded like, in the middle of Bayonne, New Jersey, here comes this little British lord.
Frank Langella's film Robot and Frank is out on DVD. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon, I'm Sean Beter with WBOY News. Indiana lawmakers have approved a bill that would make it illegal to possess or deal look-alike synthetic drugs, similar to those known as bath salts and other nicknames. The Senate voted Thursday in favor of a bill that would also give state agencies more power to suspend the licenses of businesses caught selling those drugs. The bill now goes to Governor Mike Pence for his consideration. Bill supporters say the look-alike provision is needed because drug makers have simply made changes to the drug compounds to get around current laws that are based on specific chemical makeups. Sponsors of legislation overhauling the state's criminal code hope changes made to marijuana penalties Thursday will help ease Governor Mike Pence's concerns. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more.
One of the goals of the criminal code revision legislation is to reduce penalties for low-level, first-time drug offenses in an effort to focus more on rehabilitation. But Governor Mike Pence waded into the debate last week, expressing concern the bill wasn't tough enough on drug crimes. After changes by a Senate committee Thursday, the bill still reduces overall sentences for low-level drug crimes, but it reduces marijuana penalties less. Bloomington Democratic Senator Mark Stoops says the marijuana sentences were set at the bill's original levels to keep them proportionate to other crimes.
This was an increase just to satisfy Governor Pence and his idea that this was somehow a soft on drugs crime bill. I just don't think it was necessary.
Bedford Republican Senator Brent Steele, the bill's sponsor, says the change will help make the bill's passage smoother in the General Assembly.
If anybody had any reluctance to vote for it because they thought it was being too soft, I think maybe those fears have been alleviated.
The bill passed the committee and now heads to Senate Appropriations. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Purdue University President Mitch Daniels told more than 200 people attending a forum on affordability that finding ways to save money will be an ongoing conversation the next 2 years. The former Indiana governor said Thursday that saving money needs to be a campus-wide effort. The university announced earlier this month it was freezing its tuition costs for the next 2 years because of the weak economy. Purdue needs to identify $40 million in savings to offset the freeze's impact. Eliminating merit pay raises for the next 2 years for senior administrators, deans, and administrative and professional staff earning more than $50,000 a year is expected to save $5 million. University officials hope to save another $5 million through new methods of appropriating funds. You're listening to Midday Matters here on WBOI.
Welcome back to Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. If you have a question or comment, 260-452-1185 is the number to call. You can always post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. The time is 12:33, and this is 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And it is drama times three, if not more. We're cobbling up now. And for that, who else could we have as chief engineer on the project but First Press Theater's Tom Hofrichter, and who would be his choice for first team captain? That would be Youth Theater's Leslie Horman. And Tom, what is on the catwalk this month?
There are three really interesting shows coming up in the month of April before I see you again and actually hear from me again. And the first one opens a week from today, and it is an oldie but a classic. It's To Kill a Mockingbird that St. Francis University is producing at their new space.
Former Scottish Rite.
The former Scottish Rite. I can't remember the new name, though. It's the St. Francis Auditorium, I believe. But, yeah, right downtown on Berry Street, and it's got a stellar cast. And it's one of those shows you can just see over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's a terrific piece off the Harper Lee novel. That opens April 5th and runs through the 14th. Then the following weekend, we have yet another adaptation of a novel, Orlando, which is a stage adaptation of a Virginia Woolf novel by award-winning playwright Sarah Rule. The press says it's a witty, clever, gender-bending, period-hopping play, according to New York Magazine. I would imagine, because a lot of times we're in this supposedly new period of the postmodern age, mm-hmm. but we're having a hard time trying to exactly define what that is. Sarah Rule's plays, everybody kind of points to and says, this woman is writing postmodern plays. And mm-hmm. the stuff she's writing is very interesting. A couple of years ago, I saw an adaptation of Eurydice that she did, which was terrific, that IPFW produced. And Jeff Kazaza directed that, too. So I expect it to be a terrific piece. It's out at IPFW from April 12th through the 21st. And then at Youth Theater, we also have another adaptation. So it's taking these written stories and adapting them to the theater. Anansi, I believe I'm pronouncing
Anansi it. Anansi the Spider.
Anansi the Spider, hero of West Africa.
The rogue, the trickster.
And it is the Youth Theater adaptation of, from what I understand, there's hundreds of stories. And
the trickster tales is what they're called. And yeah, they're a collection of West African tales that really were the laid down the foundation for all folk tales. There is one of the stories of Anansi that became the modern day Uncle Remus, where the leopard is batting at this sticky gum from a mimosa tree and gets his hand caught and is caught by Anansi, the spider. And so that kind of gives you a trail to these collections of wonderfully funny and whimsical folktales that have pretty much laid down the foundation for all folktales.
And the terrific things about these folktales is the same way in the Native American tradition, when you read them, they explain the world. They explain how we are supposed to treat one another. They explain life. And how did you take these hundreds of tales and isolate five of them?
Well, it's interesting because I was a elementary school teacher before I came to youth theater, and everyone in the elementary schools loves Anansi the Spider. They're in all of our reading series. And there's the original one where Anansi gets his stories from the great sky god Nayami, and that pretty much starts everything out. So he wins the stories, and that's our first story, story number one.
So is that kind of the creation story gets them all
exactly
rolling? Because every culture has one.
And then we have the Pourquoi stories, and that the Pourquoi stories are a form of folktales that explain why things are, specifically in nature. And we do the Rudyard Kipling famous Just So story, how the elephant got its trunk. And we also do how spider got a thin waist and how spider got a bald head. So it's we have three of the Pourquoi stories in the midst of the African folktales, which once again, they started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult isolating those from the others? I mean, was there a whittling down process where you started with...
I love folktales, and these have just been kind of my favorites from when I was a teacher, from before I was a teacher, from growing up. And I just, you know, that the stories are just, I've always loved how the elephant got its trunk. That's always been one of my favorite tales.
You kind of went into the project knowing there's a handful of these that would make really great theater. And
I knew I wanted the elephant because I wanted a huge elephant puppet. And we will get into the puppet portion of the show, but I knew I wanted the puppet. I just had this incredible visualization of, you know, what we could do with a huge elephant, you know, with actors, six actors it takes for this huge elephant. It's a wonderful story. And then I did actually last summer, I got out as many stories, Anansi stories, collections of Anansi stories from the public library. And I just read and thought, well, now which ones would really be easy to act? Which would use a big cast? Because I always like to use a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. Which could we have music and drumming and dancing with? So two of the stories take place in the field because Anansi is very clever and very tricky, but very lazy. And so a lot of this is him avoiding work. And then I thought the field, number one, that'll have a lot of cast members, and they do a lot of, there's a lot of ritualistic dancing that is displayed in, you know, the harvest and the harvest celebration. So I thought, you know, you could really bring in a lot of drumming and a lot of dancing and keep with that culture, but then bring in the different strains of, you know, the fine arts.
Well, it kind of makes sense then where you headed up when you were immediately thinking about collaboration, because Leslie's been working very hard to make youth theater kind of plug into all sorts of different places that do arts in Fort Wayne. I mean, they just finished a very successful collaboration with IPFW,
yes,
the Oliver, which was a terrific production.
Super, thank you.
And now, who are some of the people you're working with here? Because you talked about puppets, you talked about movement and dance, so I'm assuming there's music involved too. So who are some of your co-collaborators?
We have the Genbi Drum Ensemble with K2, TRIAC, Three Rivers Institute of Arts, African mm-hmm. Arts and Culture. I know that you're familiar with WBN. I've heard him on here before. And then we have his troupe of dancers. So we're going to have 12 drummers and 15 dancers. We're going to have 38 actors, young actors. We're also working with a master puppeteer, and this is someone I worked with. He is an art teacher at Weiser Park, Barney Thompson, and he has spent decades and decades as kind of his side job of creating puppets. He's not the performer. He likes the creation portion of it. He is a visual artist, and I approached him 2 years ago probably, and I said, I would love to do Anansi the Spider. And he was, of course, very familiar with the stories because he's in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I said, what about like a really life-size elephant that a bunch of, you know, bigger kids have to be a part of? And what about the spider? And he has created this mechanical spider. It's a 6-foot spider. It goes on. It's filled with belts and wheels, and it moves. You know, he had to devise the physics of it, of the different 8 arms moving. And the elephant, once again, it's just amazingly big. It scares me because we've got to put this all together on the stage.
So you're working, I would imagine, from day one with all those costumes, those puppets, those pieces. Is that true? Or
that, unfortunately, is not true. So a lot of my young actresses and actors have to learn kind of a CGI.
Uh-huh.
They have to, right when they're rehearsing to a chair. And that chair or that that big table is the elephant. Mm-hmm. And so all the choreography and all the blocking has to be, you know, they're going to have to visualize that there's going to be this 9-foot elephant
yeah.
that you're dancing around.
Well, when I was living in D.C. for about 3 years, I made my living as a puppeteer with Kaiser Permanente. They had a health show called Professor Bodywise, and we did about 10 puppets each. But what I found interesting is we had like 2 weeks of rehearsal staging the show, and then came the puppets. And all of a sudden, we were not nearly big enough for the puppets.
Right.
That the physicality and the energy that you have to expend in order to make those things come to life is really exciting and
it
fun.
Is.
But it's a different kind of acting.
And it's a multimedia show. It truly is a multimedia show.
Which just makes it perfect. And I would like to remind our listeners that this is WBOI's very art-centric Friday, and it's the last Friday, so we are into the whole drama land. Happy to be there with First Press Theater's Tom Hoffrichter, and our guest in the guest chair is Leslie Horman, talking about the most wonderful Anansi celebration.
It is a
that.
Huge celebration, and Anansi and his tales.
It is multimedia to the nth degree, and that's so important, too, to tell such a wonderful folktale is this, and as you just said, it's a huge cast of characters. And what was the biggest challenge for you? Okay, the puppets do sound like just getting everything coordinated and worked. What are some of the other challenges working with such a multimedia?
Well, we're working with a lot of young kids, first of all, because youth theater's mission is, you know, we mm-hmm. start them at 3 years of age, and mm-hmm. we work them all the way up to 18. Now, in the show, we have someone as young as 6, and, you know, it's just a whole bag of tricks to work with a lot of little kids. Well, I love that. That's my background.
At the same time, too, that you're working with kids who are older, too.
Yes.
I mean, trying to find a way to...
And
that's
another thing. The older kids are more seasoned. I call them my varsity team. They're playing a lot of roles as animals. And, you know, with as the elephant got its trunk, it's all animals in the forest, mm-hmm. a different part of Ghana. Obviously, a lot of it takes place in the savannah, but this takes place in the forest. And so, you know, you have to really instill the fact that you're working with these kids. Most of them are middle school that are playing the main characters. And, you know, there's snakes, the crocodile, the leopard, owls. We have flocks of little birds flying in and out. So, you know, you have to get them shake off your self-consciousness. Now, that's a good thing that these youth theater kids are pretty good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to play animals and do it with conviction and not be made fun of, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're just joyful to watch. It's a wonderful thing. You know, the forest just comes alive with these kids. It's incredible.
You talked about the drumming. Is the drumming integrated throughout the entire script, or
yes.
are there certain moments? So it is throughout the whole script.
Yes.
So I would imagine the movement and the music is being synced up as well. Is that
certainly? It ties the stories together. It's kind of the common thread that ties the five stories. It's a collection of five different tales, and they all have the common theme of Anansi, of course, and also the drums take us out into the field, because K2, there's an actual song that is about working in the fields. Mm-hmm. That's a West African tune. That's mm-hmm. a West African beat. Same thing with the Harvest Celebration. That's an entirely different song, but it's still, you know, it's very true to the heritage from what we're pulling from these folktales. When the Great Sky God comes out, you know, you have fanfare and you know, the celebrating of the drum version, I guess, of a trumpet fanfare. And it's very true to the culture. And that was one thing, working with K2 from Triac, he keeps you straight. He really does. And that's, I needed that.
It's such a wonderful dimension to put into
yeah.
a performance like this.
That's right.
And before we even talk about how this is impacting your audiences and well, as you try it on, how does the cast feel about working with such prestigious, also youthful folks as the Three Rivers Djembe Ensemble and dancers?
Yeah, well, you know, he came to visit one of our rehearsals this couple days ago, and, you know, he came out and he has such a presence, and they all were very, you could tell they were very honored to meet him, and it gives the program a lot of value in their eyes, because wow, look, this professional drummer. And our storyteller, and I shouldn't call him a storyteller. That was one thing K2 told me. It's like, he's not the storyteller. He's the jelly. The jelly. And our jelly is Dwight Wilson, local community actor,
another
musician.
Great choice. Yes.
Incredible. He is the thread. He is the cement foundation that lays these stories down, because he's basically the narrator. And that, just the fact, the tradition of the storyteller, or the jelly in African culture, is huge. He was one step below, or he's one step below royalty. So every village had their storyteller. And as you know, because, you know, you, Julia, are such a student of the folktale.
All things folk.
That's
yes.
right.
And thank you.
It's hugely important, you know, the storytelling aspect of this. The whole theme of storytelling
sure,
is huge.
It is the it's the base of things, and it's the outer crust and the whole magic of things.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the human impulse. It's in some ways why we exist. It's to tell our story.
But it's also, he was the newscaster. He was the gossiper.
Yes. Right.
He was the
yes.
current event monger. I mean, mm-hmm. he just has such, you know, and so yeah. to have Dwight play that crucial role.
He was all yes. media in one.
Yes, exactly. And I called mm-hmm. him. I said, you know, just I think the last summer, and I said, you've got to be my storyteller. And this is when he was in Dreamgirls for the Civic. So he's very talented, very busy guy, you know, has a full-time job outside of theater and the arts. And I gave him a script, and he said, yeah. And he's enjoying it, because you do a youth theater show as an adult like him, and it really opens your eyes to what kids are doing now. And it's just great to work with a bunch of kids in theater. You know, it invigorates your passion for the whole art.
Also, you are the using such the classic and the base and the original tale and Anansi. It's a great morality and wisdom lesson, of course. But the use of one of those little almost anti-heroes, because a lot of what Anansi teaches that's important is because he has done it wrong or cheated or tried mm-hmm. to do the lazy way or the slow way. And so how do kids relate to actually having their hero being a little kind of imp?
I think that they're used to that in media, the anti-hero nowadays. And you know, maybe Anansi was the original anti-hero. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. you're right. He's such a rogue. But he's so clever. And he uses his brain to get himself out of these squirmishnesses. And he kind of does learn a lesson at the end, where I'm not going to divulge the ending, but it's a beautiful ending that he kind of comes to reckon with. But the another important theme is that, you know, he wins these stories from the great sky god with his brain. And he's a very small, in some African stories, Anansi is a small man or a slave. And so, you know, this also has a lot of lesson to it.
Certainly in symbolism. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, another thing that I am always interested in, and it sounds like there's, well, obviously the settings are going to be wonderful, and the cast and character and the music and all of the media that's represented. How do you go about making costumes or putting together meaningful costumes apart from the puppetry?
Apart from the puppetry, mm-hmm. right. Well, we, youth theater, obviously, is one of the oldest children's theater in the nation, fourth mm-hmm. oldest, started mm-hmm. in 1934.
And congratulations.
Thank you. You're going to be celebrating our 80th season next year. But we have just a treasure trove of animal costumes. So that was great. We had a lot of animal costumes to pull from. And then we borrowed some African dashikis. Weiser Park had some. And we're just kind of building from what we luckily have. But we bought a lot of African print material, and we're building luckily, you know, it's not form fitted. You could just, you know, make a dashiki and robes and the tunics. So that's nice. But the animal costumes are great. And we're going to be getting a few costumes from the ballet. And the ballet's got beautiful animal costumes.
Who are some of your other co-collaborators? Because you also have somebody with movement and dance that's working on the show too, right?
Yeah, well, like I said, it's Triac who's doing a lot of the dancing, but I am as well, because mm-hmm. I direct and I choreograph little children. I love doing that.
And for those out there that really don't know the youth theater like they should, and they think, oh, I would love to get my kid involved, mm-hmm. what's a good way to get your child into the youth theater?
Well, definitely get online and get on our website. It's fortwayneyouththeater.org. Or you can call us at 422-6900. But we have classes that are going to be starting in April. We have a mini session. It's kind of an exploratory session. You can get your feet wet. We take them from ages 3. We have a 3, 4, and 5-year-old class all the way up to 18. We have an advanced theater class with Harvey Cox, who, of course, Harvey Cox has been with youth theater for many, many years, was on Broadway, and has incredible insight to someone who really, really wants to career track this.
Mm-hmm. He's been wonderful for the youth theater the last 50 years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I don't think it's been 50, but it's been a long time.
It's been since the early 70s.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, time it's, does fly when Harvey Cox is having such fun.
He's a brilliant man.
Making such an impact.
Yes,
what about this summer? I know that you have also a big summer program that gets kids involved.
We have a summer camp. It's a Rising Star Theater Camp, and it's a very intensive theater experience for grades 3 all the way through senior high. It's at the Arts United Center. We do a big production. We have classes in the morning with 3 different community directors. Then we use what we've learned, and we do a production in the afternoon after lunch. And the production, no one has to audition. Everyone gets a part. Oh, that's nice.
Great.
That's the hardest part of my job. You have 70 kids come out for 38 parts or whatever.
Tom would tell us it never gets any easier, probably. But, but the kids,
it's a tough
one.
Exactly.
Because you always try to find a way to make extra roles so everybody can play.
Sure.
Sometimes you can't.
And that's what I did. Let me tell you, I did some rewriting after auditions because I thought, oh, I have to use them. Oh, I have to use them.
I must have more butterflies and more grasshoppers. I would remind folks, this is WBOI's Midday Matters, very art-centric Friday edition, and we are enjoying talking with Tom Hofrichter from First Press Theater and Leslie Horman, the queen of Fort Wayne Youth Theater, embarking on, in Leslie's case, the presentation of Anansi Tales. And also, here's a question to both of you. As you have mentioned, you have 3 wonderful adaptations. You have To Kill a Mockingbird happening at St. Francis. Orlando is being presented by IPFW, and then the Youth Theater's Anansi. And these are all quite meaningful morality and wisdom tales, each in their own way. And is it the time of year that makes it particularly ripe for such offerings? Or, and of course, First Press Theater's mission is to be always have a
tell stories that have something to do with how we live our lives. But all of a sudden stuff kind of lines up, and this month it really has, in terms of taking other source material and turning it into a live theater, which can be really exciting to do, especially when you are on the ground floor. And are you adapting it as you're rehearsing it now?
No, huh?
So basically the script is kind of set in stone. And you're not tinkering here.
No, we can't do that now because we have a week off for spring break, and that was their charge. As they left for spring break, I said everybody needs to be off book when you get off.
Learn the lines. So you're not going to change your lines when they come back next
week? No. Of course, I'll add more window dressing. I need more people to play with the big long python, so who wants to be a python? That's what we were doing yesterday.
We have a caller on line one. Jeff, welcome to Art-Centric Midday Matters.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Jeff. It's Jeff Gazzazza from IPFW. This is Tom Hofrichter. Thanks for calling in. I was hoping you'd tell us a little bit more about Orlando, about your production that's opening here in a couple of weeks.
I think it's a wonderful play written by Sarah Rule, who has recently won the MacArthur Genius Grant for her writing. And I know IPFW has done Eurydice, and First Press Paterian Theater has done Dead Man's Cell Phone, both written by Sarah Rule as well. And this production, or this play, is adapted from Virginia Woolf's novel Orlando, and is pretty faithful in the adaptation, but also takes a number of liberties to make it theatrical, not the liberties with the story, but in liberties with how much of the story is told, because, of course, it's a novel, and so trying to make it into 2 hours does that. I think it's a very funny story, especially when compared with Virginia Woolf's other novels, which are, deal with death and are very heavy in that way. This is her one novel that kind of goes away from that, and it's more of a flight of fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And the story itself follows the character of Orlando, who is born a man, and when she reaches the age of 30, turns into a woman. In a magical, mysterious way. She goes to sleep one day, and then when she wakes up a week later, she is now a woman.
So you're kind of dealing with fairy tales the same way that the youth theater is.
Yeah, exactly.
Why this show now? I'm always curious. I mean, when I'm picking a season and putting shows together, there always seems to be a reason to do it now. Why Orlando now?
Well, a number of reasons for both us theatrically and then also I think with what's going on in society. We have the people to do it. It's a language-oriented play and it's a movement-oriented play, so it needs a lot of actors that can do a wide variety of things, and it's very imaginative. So I think the fact that theater can go back to its roots of being imaginative as opposed to having to give everything to the audience starts to incorporate the audience in new and interesting ways that we don't always get in the theater these days. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we're wanting to do that, is to really involve the audience as much as we can. And then on a maybe a societal level, I think it's always nice to look at the world and see what the world is doing to people, and know also that it's always done that. And I think Orlando does that in a great way because the play itself spans six centuries. It starts in the Elizabethan age, then moves into the 17th century, the 18th century, 19th century, 20th century, and then moves into the present moment. So as time passes, Orlando is also changing, but she's not aging like everybody else does, or he's not aging as mm-hmm. everybody else does. And so it really takes a look at how society treats both men and women, and realizing that if you're born a man, society expects you to behave this way, and if you're born a woman, society expects you to behave this way. And so I think the play itself also begins to question identity. And is identity something that is individual, or is identity something that society places on you? And so even though that's maybe a heavy topic, it's treated very, not frivolously, but it's treated in a fun way so that it doesn't become pedantic.
Well, Sarah Ruhl tends to do that with all her plays. Probably her most popular, commercially successful play, the vibrator play, or In the Next Room, takes this kind of hysterical women from the 1800s who are treated with a vibrator, and it talks about sexuality and it talks about gender in a way that makes you just laugh like crazy. So it sounds like Orlando's kind of doing that in the same way in terms of the gender breakups and this kind of fairy tale-ish idea. Is that correct? Am I headed in the right direction?
I think so, because it does do all of those things. But I think the main question that it is really dealing with is answering the question, who am I?
Right.
And am I what I believe the essence to myself to be, or am I what society wants me to be, or am I changing my identity to become something else because I can't survive this way in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, thank you so much for calling in. We look forward to that out at IPFW later this month. Next weekend, To Kill a Mockingbird at St. Francis University, and Anansi the Spider. I'd get those tickets quick for the youth theater because they sold out of
Oliver. Yeah, April 19th, Saturday, April 20th at 2 p.m., Sunday, April 21st at 2 p.m. Don't miss it. It's going to be fun for the entire family.
Thank you so much for joining us, Leslie Horman from Fort Wayne Youth Theater, and as always, Tom Hoffrichter, Drama, 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 First Press Theater.
This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 and HD Channel 1, and streaming online at NIPR.FM. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE, a service of North Manchester. Thanks very much for listening today. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.